We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey everybody, thanks for tuning in to the Food for Thought podcast by Roto Grinders. I'm the Looch and I'm here with the Chief, and we are into 2023. We have a bit of a different show and not sure how much football we're going to get through. Everyone that's tuning in, including Will and myself, we were from afar a part of something that we didn't expect to be. We didn't expect to witness what we saw. And, you know, when you see a young man in the condition, Damar Hamlin, you know, laying on a football field, and, you know, everything just gets put into perspective. And it's nothing about football and everything about our precious time here on earth for as long as we are. And, you know, it goes without saying, thoughts and prayers to everyone involved. Chief, I was sitting here just staring at the wall trying to think of the right script of words to say, but I can't really say that I found that. And I'm sure everyone was tuned into a bunch of different media outlets, and there was a lot of really well said, articulate thoughts portrayed by many people. And it's just awful, and I'm sick about it, and I know my feelings are probably shared with many, many, many people across the globe, Chief. So, hey, buddy, it is good to see your face, and I will say every time I come on here to hang out with you, and I know we have people tuned in, and we've met a lot of fantastic people doing this, and we cannot thank you enough. You guys are the reason why I jump on here on a day like today, and maybe we can offer some thoughts, or just, you know, something to maybe get your mind off of it, off of the situation briefly. Not that we're not thinking about him and his family, but, you know, everyone kind of copes and deals with things differently. And I don't know, it's always great to be here. And, you know, we're going to do our best to offer something. And, you know, we just want to appreciate you guys as we're here in 2023. And what's up, Chief?
Man, it's no problem, and happy new year to everyone. And, you know, I'll just hop right in. You know, I think what we saw last night was, you know, it was a dreadful sight, man, because the reality is, you know, you've got someone that's in the NFL playing, and, you know, and then at the drop of a hat, like, they're in a life battle here. And I think we may not want to say that, but that's the case. You know, he's on the field. He's got to have CPR. I think if you listen to some of the other media outlets from guys that have played in the NFL, one of the things that was resounding for me is they're like, look, man, you know, he didn't get the thumbs up. You know, a lot of times a guy has an injury, they give you the thumbs up while they're on the card. Everybody's like, okay. But, you know, what we saw last night, man, was not only trauma for the player himself, which was DeMar Hamlin, there's trauma involved for both of these teams and the fans and the referees and the coaches and his family. And like, you know, if you were able to listen to Lisa Salters try to talk about what was happening, she's full of emotion. And Ryan Clark's full of emotion. I know we're talking about ESPN, but every media outlet that has players that cover the game, you know, Booger McFarland, as hard of a time as I know we've probably given him for Monday Night Football, I mean, he's just on there like, look, man, let's just cancel the game. Like, what are we doing? This is it's serious business. And so, you know, Luch, I think I'm going to do something a little bit different. And look, this is not me trying to impose my religion on anyone. Like, I do believe in God. I think I'm just going to pray for DeMar on the air. Like, and I'm not trying to be insensitive to that. But it's just, this is my way of dealing with it. But, you know, Lord, we thank you for DeMar and his family and these players and coaches and medical staff and all the hospital resources. And so, you know, we're just asking that, you know, whatever needs to be done to save this young man's life and for him to be okay and to function after this, man, I'm just praying that all of those things take place, you know, in his life. We're praying that, you know, people are able to deal with this and get the help that they need. And ultimately, man, that his life is saved and that he could come back and be able to talk about it and tell this story to others, and that it would be a triumphant return, and not necessarily to football, but to life in general. And man, I'm just really praying and asking that this young man is able to live a full life at the age of 24, and that he overcomes this. And praise God, man. Amen.
Amen.
Let me say this, Luch, because I did mention this in the prop shop last night. And so for those of you that don't know, and most of you probably do, I coach basketball. And one of the worst injuries, and I coach girls basketball. Let me say that. And that one of the worst things I've seen as a coach was we were at basketball practice, and basically she could have been my starting point guard. So let's just call her starting hybrid. She could start or she could come off the bench, either one. She fell down on the floor, and I mean, listen, man, I mean, just cracked her head on the hardwood. Like, it was insane. We heard it all around the gym. Right. And so I'm saying, hey, coach. I said, hey, we got to stop practice and let's check on her. So we get her up, and she's okay for about 5 minutes, Luch. And then after that 5 minute period, she's hallucinating, she's screaming, she's passing out. We're trying to keep her awake until the ambulance gets there. Her mom gets there. She doesn't know who her mom is. She doesn't know who I am. She doesn't know her teammates. I mean, probably one of the worst concussions I've seen in my life. She couldn't even play anymore the rest of the season. And the season hadn't started yet. Like, we were about to start the season. We had a game like later that week. And so I'm just telling you, from a coach where you've got players, and she had played, this was her second year in our system. You know, when you've got players that you're connected to and you love and you care about, and I'm not trying to diminish her concussions. That's not what this is about. This is about how you feel as a human when someone is experiencing serious trauma. Like, she couldn't go to school for about 2 weeks. You get what I'm saying? Like, this was very, very serious. And so I'm saying that to say, I can only imagine what these players and coaches, and I keep saying that because they're there on the field. And this man is in a life-threatening situation. So once again, folks, I mean, just hug your families. And don't, you know, every moment is precious. And I think I'm going to try to cut it off there, because we could, we could talk about it. Like, this is real life. And I think we're in agreement. We're just going to dedicate this show to Damar Hamlin, his family. And yeah.
You're right, though. I mean, I don't want to, like, I just feel like being relatable and is kind of therapeutic. And that was, you know, that was a crazy story you shared. And I've been next to a couple of people that have been fighting for their lives, and that wasn't easy. That was in a fair amount of privacy. Taking nothing away from your story, I'm imagining that was probably in a gymnasium, but being in front of 50,000 people and then millions more, and you know, the young men on both teams forming a wall around their guy. I mean, they wanted to be there for him, and I'm certain that not all of them wanted to be staring at, you know, being feet away from him, but they, you know, they gave him as much privacy in the national spotlight as they could, as this human, this guy, their brother, their friend, you know, he's a son, was, you know, laying on, you know, the football field. And it was a moment to see all of the players and staff on both teams try to keep that situation, give it the respect and privacy that it needed, that it deserved at that time. We're sitting, me and you and most of these listeners, thousands of miles away through a television screen, and a sheer mix of emotions that are running through me at the time. But one of them that I took away was just helplessness, Chief. And if you and I and everyone else is feeling that from behind a screen, sitting on our couch or floor or whatever, I just, you know, the utmost respect to everyone that stepped up to do their part last night. And that was physically there. And you see shit on social media, but for every one negative interaction, there were, a thousand positive endorsements from so many people across the globe. And of course, that matters next to nothing, you know, when it comes to the health of Damar. But there was a little sense of a restoration in humanity being shown, and a little bit of togetherness. I'm sure you saw his toy drive. Is over $3 million. He has a localish toy drive, and really, you know, neat to see people coming together. And I donated a little bit. I don't know what to do. I just, again, feeling helpless and just sad and just talking about life here, life and death, Chief. And so much to digest. We could have taken a week off before jumping on here and talking about this, and you can't make everything in the world make sense. And this definitely didn't make sense. And I just haven't stopped thinking about him and his mom and, you know, the family. And, you know, we love sports, Chief. It's what we do. But I got to be honest with you, I don't even really want to talk about football for the most part.
Well, man, let me share this. And here's what I will say. In society and in the world, I mean, we've seen some just gruesome things, some nasty things, you know, and this isn't something I talk about a lot on the air, but, you know, I mean, we've gone through a period in our own country here recently where, it felt like what may have been, let's call it, I mean, you know, race wars, and you know, we had the George Floyd situation and so many others, but the one thing in our country, if nothing else, when everything seems to be going awry, Luch, sports in general, right, typically can bring people together. Even if you're on opposing sides, sports can typically bring people together. And I know at one point when we had the Quarterback for the 49ers. Jeez, his name is eluding me right now. Luce, do you know what I'm talking about? Jeez. I feel so sad. Play for Nevada, I think. It'll come back to me. But you know, when we went through that period where he was kneeling and everybody didn't really understand why he was kneeling and they thought he was being insensitive.
Colin
Kaepernick. Thank you. Sorry. Yeah. Thanks, folks. Thank you. That felt like a kind of a sports divide scenario, right? You had kind of some teams on this side, some teams on that side, so forth and so on. My point is, typically, sports can bring us all together. And I think what we saw last night was a tragic situation, but it also caused, I would go on, you know, out on a limb and say probably at least half of the country to stop, pause, and reflect about what's important, what really matters. You know, what can I do to maybe have a better impact in the world? You know, where can I leave my footprint in the world? Like, you know, and those are the things that sports does, right? I think we saw that night in prior to the situation, this was probably one of the biggest sporting events going at the time, with two really good teams, right? But just in an instant, Luch, and that's how serious it was, and I think it was good that we were able to see humanity in the league. The league actually moved pretty swiftly on this, I think, if they really look back at it. I think the incident happened at 8:55, and by 10 o'clock, the game was postponed. I think pretty swift, considering I'm sure they had to have a lot of moving parts. But we were able to see quickly that this was way more important than finishing a football game, right? And in the grand scheme of things, it is just a game. It's not more important than someone's life. It's not more important than someone's family. You know, it's not more important than showing care, concern, love, value. None of those things are more important than that. And so, you know, once again, when you've got players on the field and coaches, and I mean, these guys are crying, and I'm not saying everyone, because everybody processes things differently. But I mean, you've got Jadarius White. I mean, he's in shambles, bro. Like, serious shambles on the field. I don't know if you saw any clips of, you know, these guys in the locker room, like Coach Zach's going to their locker room, Coach Burrow's going to their locker room. Like, they want to check it, make sure it's okay. And they don't care that they're the Cincinnati Bengals and the other team's the Buffalo Bills. What they care about is, hey, is what's going on? Is he going to make it? What can we do to help? Like, that's what's important here. And I would encourage everyone, man, to just take that feeling and do it in your own community. You don't know what your neighbor's going through. You don't know.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What, you know, your friend down the street, you don't know what the, you know, the cashier at the grocery store is going through daily basis. You know, the person that, you know, works at the car dealership, the mechanic that works at Jiffy Lube. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is, like, just think about that. And sometimes maybe you don't realize how good you have it. And it's not like DeMar Hamlin doesn't have it good. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, who can you help? How can you help? And if we got back to that type of a society, I mean, man, this world would be an incredible place to live. I mean, it'd be incredible. Who would care if you're white, black, Chinese, Puerto Rican, African, you know, Hispanic, Hindu? Like, who would care about that? No one would care. Like, we're all one big community at the end of the day. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we all speak different languages in certain parts of the country and certain parts of the world. I get that. But there's nothing wrong with smiling at someone. There's nothing wrong with giving someone a helping hand. And I know I'm kind of going full-blown humanity here, but I think you guys are kind of getting to hear what I'm like on a daily basis. Like, this is why I'm so adamant about, hey, go to your local food bank. Go, like, you just don't know what people are going through.
You don't know what that local Hardee's manager is going through that gives you a tough time about your... I had to try to make you laugh
right.
At least
once. No, listen, you're right. And I need to let that go. I haven't posted about Hardee's in a long time. Lucha's giving us a bright spot here.
I'm trying, man.
But
you're absolutely right, Chief. I mean, everyone not only has their own shit they're dealing with, but everyone has internal battles. And, you know, it's funny. I don't know if it's because I'm from a small town, but in terms of just like keeping your friends and family close and, you know, squash the beef, like even with your family, like just try to let water be under the bridge because you just really never know. And, you know, I covered local news for almost a decade and I just, you know, there's so much more tragedy in your local communities than you even want to realize. And, you know, you can really make a difference locally. You know, I live in a town with like 25,000 people, well, including some of the surrounding areas. And, you know, you can really make a big difference locally. You know, if you don't feel like getting involved in something on more of a broad national level, making a difference in where you're from and your hometown or wherever your roots are planted is really special. And it could be something as simple as asking someone if they're okay or how their day's going, or this weird local thing. Like, there's people I haven't seen in a really long time, but like, we definitely know who each other's are. Like, we went to school each other or whatever. And like, sometimes people just walk right past you and they don't even want to acknowledge you. And I never understood why the awkwardness is, just because maybe there is a gap in communication or something. I've been really trying to break the ice with people, you know, that you haven't seen in a long time. You ever run into those kind of people, Chief, where maybe you haven't seen them in a while and like, they don't even want to acknowledge you, but really they just feel awkward? It's like, hey, just reach out and say hi to somebody. Like, what's wrong with that?
Well, I don't get that too often because I mean, I know a lot of people, and just by virtue of the things I've done in my life, and this isn't about this, I promise this isn't a brag. It's not about that. I've just done a lot. Like, you know, coaching basketball, I've been able to touch a lot of families and a lot of kids. You know, I've also been a musician my whole life, so I met a lot of people that way. I've played basketball. I'm fairly active at my church. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, so most of the time I don't run into too many. If I meet someone, they're like a true stranger. Like, but you know, you make connections, and sometimes true strangers become like really good friends. And I've had that scenario as well. But I totally get it. Like, when I worked in the financial industry, I would say, you know, it was kind of a similar process. Someone's coming into your office to, you know, they don't know you and you don't know them, made an appointment with you to talk about their whole life's finances. And, you know, it's a relationship business, right? Like, it really is. And so trying to figure out where the common ground is that we can build this relationship on so that we trust each other to do what we should do in terms of your financial health. you know, I would say it wasn't a tough job. I thoroughly enjoyed it because I got to connect with a lot of people. But, you know, when somebody's bringing their nest egg to you, it's a tough pill to swallow if they don't get good vibes. You know what I mean? And that's so I'll throw that in there because from what you're saying, it's very important to get past the awkwardness of it all.
And if I, you know, when I'm home, if I do go out when I'm home, like it's usually to the gym. And, you know, I understand, like, when I go to the gym and I work out, like, I don't want to look at anybody either. I want to, you know, do my thing and get out. You know, now it's January 3rd, and it'll probably be wall-to-wall with people trying to get their New Year's resolution on. So maybe I'll stay away from the gym for now. But anyway, I guess circling back is just keep your family and friends close. You know, go the extra mile. It can make the world a difference. And you know, we'll be thinking of DeMar and his family and the teams and everyone involved. And I guess just my last point is, because I mean, we could sit on here and just say the same things that you know most people have said, and we're doing our best. And you were really articulate, Chief. I think you did a bang up job there with everything. But I think when you're talking about the players coming together, I think a misconception is that a lot of these guys are all competitors, and they a lesser amount of them dislike one another than what you think, and then like the conception is. And I think of Pat Beverly and Russell Westbrook. Now they're hanging out having dinners together, and they're teammates. And you know, when push comes to shove, they are kind of in their own tight-knit circle. Each league, you know, these players are all kind of in it together because most of them are going through similar situations or battling the same things or have the same, you know, life pressures and things they're dealing with. So it was nice to see, you know, everyone really coming together, putting the competition in the back pocket for now. And you know, again, credit to everyone that was physically there that, you know, did their part and did the best they could do. And, you know, even a bigger kudos to the, you know, I'm just from watching on television, but, you know, the crowd and the fans in Cincinnati it seemed very, you know, they were in the dark too, and they seemed very respectful and very patient and really showed a ton of class there. So I can't say enough positive things about what we saw and how everyone handled things. And of course, you know, we are just going to keep anxiously awaiting, you know, any kind of positive news here. And we're going to keep crossing our fingers and hoping and praying and thinking about everyone involved, Chief.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Yeah, man, I don't want to be redundant. I think we, you know, we've talked about it in our own way from our own viewpoint. And once again, folks, hopefully, I know it was somber, but hopefully to think and reflect and, you know, gather your own thoughts maybe and pull those together. And
I just wanted to drop his charity. On the GoFundMe, the Chasing M's Foundation toy drive, over 140,000 donations have been made. His goal was $2,500, and there's over $3.7 million in that GoFundMe right now, and that is just really, really remarkable. And he's a Pennsylvania guy, which, you know, it gets closer to home, too. He was over on the west side. And, you know, local charity, local donation. And he has a nice little write-up, a little bio on his GoFundMe page. You know, definitely check it out. And I'm not saying, you know, hey, donate, but it's something. It's, you know, again, people coming together in different ways, Chief. And, you know, at least there's like some camaraderie here, which is good to see.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So, folks, listen, I know it's a different pod. I guess we kind of just didn't care about these other games this week. We just wanted to come on and talk about this, I guess, in our own way. Hopefully you guys understand. I mean, I'm not saying we won't talk about anything, but we may not. So this is why I will say this. This is why I like this pod, because, you know, it's not, I mean, I guess I'll use our patent sense. It's not your mom's podcast, your grandmother's podcast. Like, and I'm glad we've been given some autonomy to do it our way and approach it our way. And hopefully that's what makes this podcast good for everyone, that we can have moments like this and share some perspective. And I'm just honored that we were able to do this. And it's this moment right now, Luch, is making me reflect on how we came about to this podcast. A lot of you don't know, Luch and I did, you know, a couple of morning grinds for NBA. And I guess we'll use the cliche where we just kind of hit it off. And one day we woke up and we had our own thing. And it's been good. I'll say that it's been good. And super appreciate for everyone listening to us rave and rant about sports every week. And, you know, perhaps one day this podcast rivals some of the best in the industry. You know, believe it or not, one of my favorite guys to listen to, or one of my favorite shows to listen to, is The Herd, believe it or not, with Colin. I like that show. And perhaps one day, you know, we can reach that level and be able to share our perspective with the masses. But super appreciative to that you guys have invited us into your, you know, your home, your car, your headphones to hear what we have to say on a weekly basis. And so thank you all, I mean, so much for supporting this pod.
And, you know, I couldn't say it any better. And for two guys sitting here that don't shut up typically, it's difficult to always find the right words in situations like this. So, you know, we hope you, you know, took ours well. And, you know, we're going to get back to work today. And, you know, as the week goes on, there are going to be, you know, countless articles and shows at Roto Grinders that, you know, will help you out with this weekend slates and all these big games. And of course at scoresandodds.com, we have premium packages and Parlay IQ. So this was a unique opportunity for us to jump on and talk about life and the bigger things, and, you know, talk about DeMar, his family. And, you know, it was nice to, you know, to plug his toy drive here at the end. And, you know, any way to maybe like feel a little less helpless and just, you know, hope, pray, think about him and his family. And as Chief said, you know, do the right things, you know, just, you know, do your best. And I don't really have anything else to say. I kind of feel like a stuttering idiot. So, Chief, you got any parting words for today, or should we close it out of here?
Man, I think I'm good. Once again, this show is absolutely dedicated to DeMar Hamlin and his family, people connected to him. And thanks, everybody, for listening.
Yeah, let's catch up next week. And we'll talk some football, and we'll have, you know, likely some more information on everything, and we'll regroup then. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. It's been a pleasure all season, and we'll definitely link up next week again. So for Will, I am Justin. Take care, everybody, and have a good day.